All right, hello everyone. Now we're going to begin. This is State of Librographics. State of Librographics is a curation of all the different projects in the open source or Librographics space. And so every year we get a bunch of projects to submit and tell us what they have been up to. There's a ton of projects today, and so there's no long introduction. There's going to be no long conclusion. We're just going to go right into it. So first up. We have AACeed. AACeed is a versatile 2D 3D real-time engine developed and used by Emmanuel Mamariat since the last century. Our open source project is designed to accommodate installations of various complexity and sizes. And if you want more, AACeed focuses now on three core applications: Beijing, creating captivating visuals that complement live performances; data product visualizations, which is communicate complex data through clear, engaging visuals; and immersive digital installations, experience the fusion of art and technology in interactive environments. If you want to find out more about this, you can find Ma Barrett and Louis Montaigne, who are attending LGM 2026. Thanks to Ma for the slides. Next up, we have Blockbench. Blockbench offers a beginner-friendly alternative to more traditional 3D software, but still has advanced features for professional artists. The modeling tools are easy to understand and optimized for stylized low-poly models. It features paint tools with a strong focus on pixel art, including standard image editing tools like different brushes, layers, and selection tools. There's also an animation editor with keyframe and math expression support, graph editor, and simple IK features. Blockbench also has a built-in plugin browser. Plugins can be installed to add features and integrate Blockbench into more specialized workflows. It also has partnership with Mojang Studios, who use Blockbench as their primary tool to make models and animations for Minecraft. And strong community in indie game dev and modding for games like Minecraft. Recent changes of Blockbench include added armature and mesh deformation, started to port the codebase to TypeScript and modernize it, giving the UI a fresh new look, partnering with a team behind the game Hytale to make Blockbench both their internal tool to create models for the game and to make it the official modeling tool for the modding community, and adding more image formats and improved image support for pen tablets. It also started to produce update videos to showcase everything new with each update for the users. There are a bunch of cool things planned for next updates, including new UV tools to make UV mapping super easy, improvements to layers and the image editor, including layer groups and effect layers, tools to render images and videos in Blockbench, cameras, rendering, post-processing, and tools to make more complex animations. Thanks a lot to Janice X11 for the slides. Next up, we have CoolLab. CoolLab is a node-based software to create generative visuals in real time. It is designed to be intuitive and easy to use, even for the people who have zero notions of programming or math. There will be a workshop tomorrow if you want to learn the basics of CoolLab, hosted by Jules right there. Over the last year, on top of adding many new effects and fixing new bugs, we have focused a lot on improving the user experience. A few notable changes. A launcher, which automatically installs new versions and opens each project with the right version, installing it first if necessary. UI scaling, allowing the support of high DPI screens, a macOS version, and supporting for the Spout protocol. We're working on version 2.0 with a goal to expand what the software can do, so improved VJ workflow, a dedicated UI to switch between scenes during a live performance, kind of inspired by Resolume. More outputs, new types of effects. We want to lay the groundwork for 3D meshes, text, simulations of fluids, particles, cellular automata, and much, much more. If you want to talk more about it, there's Jules here, of course, and Benoit Bai, the community manager, and they're doing two talks and a workshop. So go check that out. Next up, we have Friction. Friction is a motion graphics editor. The core stack includes Skia, which is powering the 2D vector raster graphics with high-performance GPU acceleration. It uses FFmpeg to handle the audio and video processing, and Qt to provide the foundation for the UI and application logic. Project originated as a fork of Envy in 2023. Since then, their primary mission has been to stabilize the codebase, refine the UI UX, and streamline the workflow for motion designers. You can find more on friction.graphics. So changes, UX overhaul, significant improvements to the overall user experience and workflow, introduced a dedicated transform interactors for the canvas, added basic grid support and a snapping system, complete rewrite of the gradient color and opacity handling, full support for mixed blend modes, custom SVG optimizer, platform support, so platform for Flatpak, add support for ARM64. Anything else? Oh, and community growth, seeing a new lot of new users and getting more feedback. So roadmap, they're targeting a 1.1 release by late 2026 or 2027, with FFmpeg v6 plus support, also refactoring a lot of tech debt, so overhauling expressions and effects to resolve legacy constraints and improve performance and stability, making a new shortcut manager with fully remappable key binding system, introducing a light mode and a user shareable themes. Development is already underway and slated for the first 1.1 betas. A scriptable API, we're opening friction to users and external applications, aiming to collaborate with other LibGraphics projects to establish common workflows. Also a new open project file format and XFL support for the Adobe Animate XFL file format. Thank you a lot to Ole Andre for the slides. Oh, and yeah, you can find out more about Friction via that QR code. Next up, we have GIMP. GIMP is a community-driven free software for high-end image creation and manipulation. GIMP 3.2 was released on March 14th, with over 2 million known downloads of GIMP 3.2 in the first 2 weeks. GIMP 3.2 brings new non-destructive layer types like vector layers and link layers, updated the My Paint brush engines with 20 new brushes, write a new overwrite painting mode that allows you to replace RGB values without blending with the existing transparency. They're also working on a 2.0 version with a goal to expand what the software can do, or I guess a 3.0 version. Improved VGA workflow, dedicated UI to switch between scenes during a live perform. All right, sorry, that's Cool Lab. Aha, found it. New file format support, such as SVG and DDSP7 export, and improved Photoshop support. UX improvements to the text editor and other areas of GIMP, and a new Giggle filter browser to easily see all the non-destructive filters. Next up on the GIMP roadmap, a new XCF format based on Giggle that allows for faster processing for much larger projects, autosave, and more. Full CMYK and spot channel image mode. Refresh of built-in art assets. And improvements to selection tools. You can get involved with GIMP by going to their website and contributing. Yeah, thank you to GIMP for sending in the slides. Next up, we have GlaxAnimate. GlaxAnimate is an open source animation editor focused on vector graphics. Next slide, there you go. Version 0.6.0 was released as part of KDE. It uses the KDE frameworks with added several improvements and features to the user interface. Import and export support has been improved for multiple file formats, especially SVG and Lottie. The timeline has received several usability improvements. Several translations to new languages have been added, and there have been improvements when handling larger files. Coming soon, many improvements have been already added and are being tested before the next release. A new rendering engine that allows for more advanced masking and blending options. The timeline and property views have been substantially reworked to provide a better user experience. Video export has been updated for more accurate results. The code for handling of animated properties has been completely rewritten, opening the road for more features and improved performance. There's also an experimental web player that can be used to play GlaxAnimate files directly on web pages without converting to other formats. Thanks a lot to Maria Bagsalia for the slides. Oof, not a text. Next up, we have Graphite. Graphite is a vector-based graphics editor and animation engine. Layer-based compositing and node-based generative design. It features non-destructive editing, and it's more like a game engine than the conventional creative app. It can also run in browser, and it is, of course, forever free and open source. Coming up to Graphite, recent achievements include morph between shapes, flipping modes, parametric animation, instancing, table-based graphical data format and introspection, and GPU-accelerated rendering. On the roadmap, version 1.0 to be released very soon. It has a native desktop application that is coming with a GUI that uses WebTech, a stable document format, GUI improvements, and timeline panel for animation curves. Thanks a lot to Simran for the slides. Next up, we have Hyper8. Hyper8 re-envisions video publishing on the web using static site generation. It combines a YouTube-like public front-end with a fast, maintenance-free, local-first back-end. Hyper8 sites can be offered through a beginner-friendly desktop application with its file-based back-end and command line interface, but also with entirely scripted workflows. The biggest news since last year's LGM is the release of version 1.0 in October 2025. Some of the highlights include cross-platform desktop integration, the new browse and search navigation, the new playlist sidebar, audio-only streaming, download and streaming exclusive media assets, built-in FTP deployment, both in desktop and command line interfaces. Improved accessibility and complete localization. Collaborative editing. And lastly, interactive searchable transcripts. Thanks a lot. Oh, now for this year, 2 weeks ago, Hyper8 was awarded a grant from NLNet, which will enable major developments in the second half of 2026. Starting this summer, the feature scope, accessibility, and usability will be leveled up, introducing new theming and customization options, support for chapters, built-in SSH/SFTP-based deployments, code-protected videos, and much more. Simon, who develops Hyper8, is around this year's LGM. If you want to say hi and have a chat, I don't know if he's here. Oh, there he is. And thanks a lot to Simon for his slides. Next up, we have Inkscape. Inkscape is an open source vector editor working on the SVG standard. The project started in 2003 and is still in excellent health 22 years later, thanks to its very active community of users, contributors, and developers. New major versions are released every 1 or 2 years since 2019, with a minor release every 6 months or so. For 2025-26 period, they released version 1.4.2 in May of 2025, and the last version is currently 1.4.3, available December 2025. 1.4x releases focused on bug fixes, about 200 more, many improvements around the import-export file formats, export issue on Windows, various fixes for PDF, improved support for Affinity Designer, initial support for Vectornator, linearity curve files, and much more. Noticeable work has been done on translations and documentation. Project, community, and infrastructure-wise, Inkscape took part of the India FOSS 2025 conference, They had a booth where visitors could try Inkscape, learn more about the difference between vector graphics and raster images, and even participate in drawing a community conference doodle. Inkscape user and designer and short film artist George DeCampo also used Inkscape in his process to create a short film, which we will see more about later. They also worked on updating their website and moving their chat from Rocket Chat to Matrix. Donations, they're also expanding donations options to include Stripe and also a version on Steam. And like many Floss projects, they have concerns about AI-driven development, and so they have been working on drafting a new AI policy. For Inkscape 1.5 and beyond, background work continues for version 1.5. In the next major version, a special focus will be on stabilizing GTK4 ports, support for color spaces, including CMYK rendering and a native print-ready print PDF export. This has been involving a huge amount of rework on the internals of Inkscape, but much work has already been done, and the work continues. Hiring people, two C++ devs and one issue admin to give boost to bug fixing during for this big release. And UI UX improvements, the UX plus developer teams are working hard to redesign panels, tools, icon set, etc. for the next major version. Some refactoring is also in the works for 1.5 for grids, autosave slash recent files, and multi-page, a quite fresh feature in Inkscape, which is intended to evolve into a more standard element like PDF multi-page compatibility. Those slides were all made in Inkscape. Credits could go to Carl for the robot on the first page and Andrew Weasley for the second slide with various backgrounds by M1981. Thanks a lot to M1981 for the slides. Next up, we have Caden Live. Caden Live is a powerful video editor made by the KDE community. The 25.04 release adds a powerful automatic object segmentation tool for background removal. They also refactored the audio waveform generation, giving a 300% performance boost, as well as refactored the sampling method to display more accurate and higher resolution waveforms. This release also improved support for OpenTimeline I/O by rewriting the import and export functions to use the C++ library. The 25.08 release focused heavily on stabilization, bringing over 300 commits and fixing more than 15 crashes. Instead of major new features, the effort went into polishing and bug fixing. They redesigned the audio mixer, improved scopes, improved a titler, and gave a major overhaul to guides and the markers tool. The 25.12 release focused on improving the user experience and polishing the user interface. They added a welcome screen and a new docking system, and also revamped the audio waveform view in the clip monitor with an added minimap. 26.04 is the first major release of 2026, bringing monitor mirroring, animated transition previews, and changing the speed of multiple clips at once, and ability to import a clip directly from the timeline context menu. The roadmap is constantly being reviewed and updated, and some of the highlights coming to 2026 include implementing 10/12-bit color support, timeline playback optimizations for decoding, OpenFX support, the dope sheet with a new keyframing system and user interface, finishing the advanced trimming tools feature, and distribution to the Microsoft Store. Thanks a lot to FRDBR for the slides. Next up, we have Krita. Krita is a professional free and open source painting program. It is made by artists that want to see affordable art tools for everyone. This year, Krita has been busy refactoring code and bringing new features to users. Krita did a recent simultaneous release of Krita 5.3 and Krita 6. Both versions are almost functionally identical, with 6.0 having more Wayland functionality, but also being more unstable as it's based on Qt 6. Krita 6 comes along with color management and support for 10-bit displays and fractional scaling. The text tool received a major overhaul, or a full overhaul, rather. Text can now be edited directly on the canvas, as well as IME support. Text can also be wrapped inside of areas or following shapes, fully conforming to SVG2. And new options for text include a text properties docker and glyph palette. On the canvas, typesetting mode allows for editing font size, baseline shift, line height, and dominant baseline directly on the canvas. A new comic panel editing tool was also added, which allows making panel layouts easily. It also has now pixel smoothing, a new selection toolbar, the fill tool got a close gaps functionality, and improvements to various filters and layers, as well as improvements to dockers. The project is working on replacing the tool option dockers for QML, hacking away at prototype for a mobile user interface for Krita, investigating file formats and file handling, more and better color management support, region-based updates performance gains, better project CI. And yeah, these images on these slides were based off of Tyson Tan's work. Thanks a lot to Tier for the review. And if you want to find out more, you can find Tier and Karsten for Krita. Next up, we have L5. L5 is a new processing/P5 creative coding library independently initiated, implemented in Lua with the Love framework. It is designed with permacomputing principles to be lightweight, work on the widest variety of machines, stay true to the processing approach, balanced with constraints to support running on resource-constrained machines. In the past several months, they've taught a variety of workshops, had over a dozen folks contribute to the library, and continue to build out functionality and debug. Next steps will be to expand and refine installation documentation and build out sound and camera libraries. They're eager to help get the library to more users and expand the community of new contributors. Thanks a lot to Lee for the slides. Next up, we have Landron de Flores, or Flowers Thief. Flowers Thief is an independent short film and production pipeline project recognized at various festivals, created to validate a 100% LibreGraphics workflow for cinematic animation. The mission? To demonstrate that open source tools can handle complex, professional 2D animation from concept to final master. This project represents a full stack production case studies using Inkscape, Krita, OpenTunes, Kdenlive, Audacity, and Aegissub. The core of the animation was built on OpenTunes, where they pushed the software beyond traditional cell animation. We utilized its plastic and skeleton tools for advanced cutout rigging, its 3D camera for cinematic depth, and custom expressions to automate expressive movements. Meanwhile, Inkscape and Krita were responsible for modeling the entire graphic world where the story takes place. You can watch the Landron de Flores production reel. To date, the film has earned multiple international festival laurels. The roadmap for 2026 focuses on documenting this pipeline to provide more professional training, helping artists transition from proprietary suites to the LibreGraphics ecosystem through high-end production methodologies. Thanks a lot to George Del Campo for the slides. Next up, we have Upstage, which submitted a video. Hopefully sound will work.
Hi. Since the last MDF, we need within the other page. We have a new hosting sponsor. Transferring all of our stuff. Website and email as well as the other page platform itself. Has been quite a big job. And Gloria is busy writing out the last pages. Meanwhile, the artists have been busy. Upstage can reduce the exhibitions and hybrid performances. And presenting at conferences. still can do more on Saturday. See you then.
So that's Upstage. Thanks a lot to Helen for the slides. And if you want to catch her, she'll be here Saturday with a talk. Or a workshop, I think. I can't remember. Next up, we have MakePad. MakePad is a GUI framework for development. GUI framework with development system and IDE all in one. It integrates code and design for live creation. It is also a work in progress project based on Rust too. There you go. It is cross-platformed with an open source UI framework built and for Rust with domain-specific language and live reloading, runs natively and on the web, features also pixel-based shaders. Achievements and roadmap, MakePad 1.0 was released about a year ago with version 2.0 expected soon. MakePad Studio will be out soon too. It's not ready for prime time, but you can play with it. Thanks a lot to Simran for the slides. Next up, we have OpenRNDR. OpenRNDR is a free and open source Kotlin-based framework for creative coding. It provides rendering, animation, interaction, and shader support to build a real-time graphics, generative art, live visuals, and interactive installations. So changelog, versions 0.4.5 and 0.5.0 released with over 500 commits, new features, fixes, dependency updates, cleanup, and documentation. It has a new GUI with text rendering, layout, and video player improvements. A new G-code and AxiDraw extensions, new 2D shape, math, and application features, new SDL-free backend and Oryx API page, a PDF guide for offline reading, description for all 375 demos, and early WASM and Android support. On the roadmap, it has a variable type, and with upcoming exciting new features, updates, fixes, and improvements. Thanks a lot to Abe for the slides. If you want to learn more about it, he's doing a talk Thursday, and a workshop on Friday. Thanks. Next up, we have OsseoScore. OsseoScore is a cross-platform sequencer for audiovisual artists designed to enable the creation of interactive shows, museum installations, intermedia digital artworks, interactive music, and more in an intuitive user interface. I cannot get next slide. Yep. Come on. Okay, there we go. It allows to sequence OSC, MIDI, DMX, sound files, and more between, between multiple software and hardware. It features a show control system, supports every standard protocol used by media artists, with audio visual real-time visual data flow graph. It works on Windows, macOS, Linux. It also acts as a bridge between many environments, platforms, and protocols, and has a huge amount of integrations with like FFmpeg, GStreamer, VST, LVO2, VST3, and much more. Also supports a vast amount of audio/video formats for live media with hardware decoding and scrubbing, as well as full GPU-only graphics pipeline, and has been used in award-winning art installations and performances. A talk and workshop will be given during LGM 2026. This talk will give... an overview of a graphics pipeline and feature of a software, and the workshop will be a hands-on exploration. Thanks a lot to Jean-Michel Cellier who submitted slides and who is also around, possibly. Yeah, there he is. You can find out more by locking it in. Thanks so much. Next up, we have RPaint. RPaint is a painting program which has minimal feature sets, yet achieves awesome results by having pigment-based color model and node-based brushes, handmade by Wu Yiming. What's new? The new pigment color model, mainly the component spectral system, accumulation and depletion of modeling, simulating the effects of paint leaving brushes and overlaying on the canvas, the use of LZMA for internal compression, making the canvas file size much smaller, stability improvements for handling huge canvases, soft proofing and colorgement, and much more. What's next? Better interoperability with other design software like Blender and FreeCAD, perhaps? Support for more file formats for importing and exporting? And even better color models on top of the pigment? Feel free to test out RPaint or even use it in productions. It's actually pretty stable. Also, if you have any unique takes on how digital art programs should operate, you can get into contact with Yiming. Thanks a lot to Yiming for the slides. Next up, we have p5.js. p5.js is a JavaScript library for making art and learning to code. Since 2013, p5.js has helped learners to make algorithmic art on the web. p5.js is a community-driven, prioritizing access and inclusion, and makes coding beginner-friendly by requiring as little prior knowledge as possible to get hands-on, while supporting continued learning. Almost exactly 1 year ago, p5.js 2.0 was released. That release included p5 strands, a feature for offering shaders in JavaScript. Recent releases include improvements to this feature, which will be shown at an LGM talk and workshop. You can, if you want to learn more about p5.js, you can find Dave Pagurek, Luke Thouden, Parminder Singh, Kenneth Leem, and Kit Kusanak. They're probably somewhere around there. Thanks a lot to Kit for the slides. Next up, we have Penpot. For those who still don't know Penpot, it's the first collaborative open source design platform built on open web standards like SVG, CSS, HTML, and JSON. What you design is already expressed as code, reducing friction, speeding up implementation, and eliminating handoff issues. With real-time collaboration for designers and developers, Penpot redefines how digital projects are designed and built, bring design and code into the same conversation from the start. Some core features that make Penpot unique include native design tokens, CSS grade layout and component system, and MCP servers. On the changelog, you can see that Penpot had a lot of community events. It also released 2.6 with design tokens. First part of the Penpot UI course came out. Release of 2.10 with Penpot variants. And Penpot Fest, of course. Next up in 2026, to look forward to an ambassador program where learning network networking can happen. The MCP server, where you can connect Penpot to your AI client, enable multi-directional workflows with their open API. A new render engine with designing large files that features smoother and faster workflow to streamline the design process. Quality of life improvements, design systems governance, and future-proof prototyping. You can go check out Penpot via the QR code or on their website. And thanks so much to Elena and Alenza for the slides. Next up, we have Pixie Editor. Pixie Editor is a universal node-based 2D editor that was made to provide you with the tools and features for all your 2D needs. Create beautiful sprites for your games, animations, edit images, create logos, all packed up in an intuitive and familiar interface. Pixie Editor 2.0 was released in the middle of 2025. It was the biggest milestone in its 7-year history. It evolved from a simple pixel art editor into a fully featured node-powered 2D editor. Among many other things, version 2.0 brought a fully customizable node graph with procedural artwork and animation capabilities, animation timeline with frame-by-frame and procedural support, homegrown universal 2D renderer capable of mixing vector and raster graphics, an SVG interpreter built entirely from scratch, dedicated tool sets for pixel art, painting, and vectors, and the ability to import TTF plus OTF files and import them as vectors, and custom Vulkan and OpenGL renderers. The main goal for 2026 is to bring node-based brush engine extension system and reusable node components alive. Brush engine is already available to test. It's based on the very same node graph that is used for Pixie Editor's documents. They claim that it is one of not, if not the most advanced brush engine out there. Pixie Editor's main developer, Chris, aka Flabbit, will be talking more about it during this year's LibreGraphics meeting on Saturday during a presentation of the power of node-driven 2D workflows. Thanks a lot to Krzysztof Krasinski for the slides. Stellarium. Stellarium is a free and open source planetarium for your computer. It shows a realistic sky in 3D, just like what you see with a naked eye, binoculars, or a telescope. The Stellarium desktop planetarium celebrated 25 years since its inception in summer of 2000. Its founder, Fabien Chereau, meanwhile has created Stellarium Web and Stellarium Mobile for iOS and Android, and other main developers have taken over, such as Alexander Wolf, who is now the maintainer, George Zotti, the co-maintainer, astronomer with focus on cultural astronomy, Roshan Kabatsayev, co-maintainer with a new atmosphere model, lunar surface shader expert, and Susan M. Hoffman, the sky cultural researcher. A bit of history on Stellarium. Stellarium has become the leading application for cultural astronomy research and outreach and is used by millions of amateur and professional astronomers on Windows, Linux, and macOS. Scientific highlights of 2025. Stellarium was used in commissioning of the Simony Survey Telescope at the Vera C. Rubin Observatory, one of the most advanced professional astronomical telescopes. Josh Mayers developed a plugin to show the image mosaic in its super wide field 3.2 gigapixel cameras of others. He donated the plugin to all Stellarium users. Recent activities, 25.1 with a new star catalog, finally accurate proper motions, features for constellations, figures, stories of cultures and worldwide. The International Astronomical, Sky Cultures 2.0, version 25.2, the International Astronomical Union's Working Group for Star Names, utilizes Stellarium for disseminating new names. With version 25.3, the Sky Culture Maker plugin simplifies the creation of sky cultures. With version 25.4, narration with text-to-speech output. With version 26.1, the first official version for the Windows for ARM 64 platform. In 2025-07, a tutorial session for Isaac/IAU Symposium, Cultural Astronomy Conferences in Melbourne. In 2025-08, they also did a tutorial session on the Horizon Panoramas at the SEAC Cultural Astronomy Conference in Hamburg, and more presentations and invited talks at various international conferences. Over version 25.1, 0.2, 0.3, and 0.4, there have been over 1.1 million direct downloads, excluding installations via Linux package managers. On the roadmap, 2026 will see consolidation. Sky Cultures 2.0, an active map feature to show where sky cultures are distributed on the globe. Thanks to Moritz Watts for that. Web-based interface improvements, also with gamepad support, thanks to Kutsabai Akra. Even better lunar surface, thanks to Russian. Text-to-speech refinement, thanks to George. Telescope guiding. Extend support to ASCOM Alpaca family of instruments. Satellites plugin, also being modernized due to data format change and finding funding for research projects and such. Thanks a lot to George Zoti for the slides. Next up, we have Tixel. Tixel is an MIT licensed tool for real-time graphics and VJing, built entirely by a community of artists and devs. No corporate backing. They've grown a lot lately, with their Discord hitting 2,500 members and GitHub reaching 4K stars. To help people get over the math wall, they built SkillQuest. It's an in-app non-linear learning path that uses interactive puzzles to teach everything from basic UI to advanced shader logic. It's their way of rewiring the workflow so artists can actually master the technical side without getting stuck in documentation. Thanks a lot to Thomas for the slides. And yeah, that's it for State of Liber Graphics. I actually got through that much faster than I thought I was going to. If you want to, you know, ever go back and see some of the projects, we literally this morning put up a new page where you can go to librographicsmeeting.org/2026/projects, and you can see all the projects listed there along with links to their websites and such, or scan the QR code, of course, and discover all the awesome and wonderful projects in the LibreGraphic space. With that, thanks so much to everyone who submitted slides, and thanks to all of you. Thank you.